Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It is a wonderful day to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
The front of your bulletin kind of says it all. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what we celebrate today. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Welcome to all of you. If you're visiting with us today by chance, a special welcome to you. And if you're joining us by Jethro Radio, welcome. Also, those who join us through jethro.fm on the internet, welcome to you. And those who will join us through YouTube. It's a joy to have this chance to come together and just thank God for this amazing morning and this amazing miracle that we celebrate together. Just a couple of notes about what's going to happen today. After I introduce those who will lead us in our lighting of the Advent candles, we're going to gather around the piano and have a carol time. You have a song sheet in your bulletin, and so you can come up if you are comfortable with that, and we're going to sing around the piano these Christmas carols. When that's over, I'll open with a prayer while you're still up here. Then everybody can go back and have a seat, and then the choir's going to sing. Then we're going to have another prayer, and then we got some special music with Linda Wolf. She's going to lead us in special music, and then we'll be at the message part of the service. So it's going to kind of move fast, but don't miss out on the sing around the piano part. It'll be great to sing these great Christmas carols together. Our leaders for the Advent lighting today are Mitch and Nadine Farron. And I'm going to invite them to come up and lead us at this time.
Good morning. We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming.
The kingdom of God is here.
Be alert at all times. Make your hearts ready.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
The crooked shall be made straight.
And the rough ways made smooth.
And all flesh shall see salvation of God.
Let us bear fruits worthy of repentance.
For one is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
He will bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly.
He will lift up the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty.
Do not be afraid. This is good news of great joy for all people.
A Savior is born, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth people among those whom you can make faces.
Glory to you, Almighty God, for you send your only begotten Son that we might have new life.
Glory to you. When you became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might become your people.
Glory to the Holy Spirit, for you direct and rule our lives.
Glory to you, Almighty God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
big thank you to all of you for a great sing around the piano morning. That was wonderful. Great singing. And thanks to Paul, as always, leading us in with his wonderful skills. Thanks also to Mitch and Nadine for leading us in the Advent reading as we got started today. Let's just bow and thank God for our presence here. Father, we do thank you for a chance to be together in your house on such a special morning as this. We gather because we love you. We gather because we know what this morning means. We have come to experience the presence of Jesus in our lives. And so to welcome him into the world on his birthday is a special occasion for us. Help us, Father, to focus on that morning, that special morning, and the difference that it makes in our world. We just thank you, Father, for each person here and for what each contributes to this worshiping body. Be with us now. Be with the choir as they sing, and Linda later as she brings special music, and as we open your word together. Be with us. We welcome you, Father, into this wonderful, special occasion. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, choir, And thank you again, Paul. As we enter into a time of prayer this morning, I thought it would be appropriate to just kind of focus on people who are hurting this Christmas. There are always folks out there who can't quite celebrate Christmas the way we do because they have just maybe experienced the loss of a loved one or some other emotional tragedy has occurred in their life, and they're just plain hurting when the holiday season arrives, and they look around and everyone else is smiling and celebrating, and they just can't do that. There are plenty of those kind of people out there, and maybe you've gone through a season of Christmas where you've experienced that kind of sadness amidst all the joy. And I want to just remember those folks. There are lonely people out there. There are people in our own congregation who would dearly love to be here today, but just can't because of physical reasons. Maybe they're in a nursing home or maybe a memory care unit. Maybe they're in the hospital, but they're lonely, and they need to know that we care and that we remember them and what they're going through this Christmas. So let's just bow and pray specifically with those folks in mind, shall we? Father, it is a joy for us to be here today. It is just so good to sing these wonderful Christmas carols and to just rehearse the Christmas story, a story that we never get tired of. Thank you, Father, for the joy we experience when we get together with brothers and sisters in Christ who share our love for you, who have that special love in their heart for what you have done for us. Father, thank you for the gospel and for the difference that it makes in our lives. And as a church family, we are just so thankful for each person that you have made a part of this eighth family. And today we want to especially remember those who cannot be here, would love to be here, but because of physical circumstances are just not able to join us today. Father, we pray for the lonely. We pray for people who never get visits from other people, who just feel very alone. And when all of the joy of Christmas is happening around them, they hurt. We remember them today, Father. There are many folks like that out there, folks who just cannot celebrate in the way that we do. We pray for them, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to just minister to them today. I pray for the folks from this congregation who are out there and, again, who would love to join us. May they feel a part of us right now. Maybe they're joining us by radio or, Father, by YouTube, but help them to know that we're still connected, that we still are a part of this wonderful church family, that they are still loved and cherished and prayed for, especially in times when they're hurting. Father, we pray especially for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, who are maybe spending Christmas for the first time without that special someone in their life. And we pray for them that you would ease that hurt and you would allow them, Father, to just experience the joy of eternal life that will bring us all back together again one day. We thank you, Father, for what we will experience here as we open your word and as we remember Mary and the goings-on of that first Christmas morning. We pray that you will just again imprint it in our hearts, Father, what courageous people, Mary and Joseph, were, as they faced this this birth alone. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us to understand what they went through and the faith that they were able to experience. Be with us as we continue to sing and remember you and this birth through these wonderful Christmas carols. And thank you for our choir and for Linda today and for the contribution that they make, for all of our musicians and the wonderful part that music plays in every worship service. Again, Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we thank you for an opportunity to come together and just love you and worship you and thank you for Christmas. We pray now as Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Linda's going to lead us. Thank you. Been triply blessed by the music today. Thank you so much, Linda. And thank you again to the choir, and thanks to all of you for that great sing-along today. God's honored by music like that, and we just rejoice in it. We're going to make some music again with hymn number 249, O Come All Ye Faithful, Standing to Sing. The scripture lesson today is a familiar one, Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. We'll read verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I mentioned earlier remembering people who struggle emotionally at Christmas time. I speak from personal experience. Christmas 1967 was a nightmare for the Bergsma family. December 10th, my dad was stricken very suddenly. He's only 44 at the time, and went into the hospital and lasted 2 months, actually, but declined all the way. The last time I saw him, the last words I spoke to him were that very day, December 10th, and so we had to spend Christmas knowing that he was in very bad shape in the hospital. Long story short, he passed away in February, and there was a lady in our neighborhood, Mrs. O'Donnell, and I was so touched by what she did. She took it upon herself when my dad died to go to her church and light candles for a week straight. She got up early, 6 o'clock in the morning, and went to her church and lit candles and prayed for my dad and for our family. And I still to this day remember that kind woman and her heart. Unfortunately, the prayers that she offered were directed to Mary, Jesus' mother. And Mary is not to be the recipient of our prayers. She is obviously a very, very important part of the Christmas story, but she's not God. She wasn't immaculately conceived and without sin. She was not a co-redeemer with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was not to be the one to whom we're to direct our prayers. Mrs. O, her heart was so big, and her love was felt by our family, but her prayers were misdirected. Having said that, Mary is an incredible person. She's a human being like us. But she was chosen for a role in this Christmas drama, the likes of which we can't even begin to imagine. I would go out on the limb and say that Mary's one of the bravest, most courageous people in the entire Bible. I'd rank her up there with Joseph, who got sold into slavery by his own brothers, his jealous brothers. Remember that story? And then got betrayed by his boss, Potiphar, and thrown in jail. Came this close to dying several times. I'd rank Mary up there with Joseph in terms of courage. I'd rank her up there with Moses, who went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh and led his people through the Red Sea and in through the wilderness. I'd rank Mary right up there with King David, who went up against this giant warrior, Goliath, and then had to escape from an enraged, jealous king who was trying to kill him, and then engaged in combat later on for the nation of Israel, hand-to-hand combat for his Lord. I would say Mary ranks right up there in her courage. She is a remarkable lady. And her faith in God is just something to be respected. She endured hardships and scandal and whispers and apparently the loss of her fiancé. She had a baby alone in a dirty place, in a stable. She had threats on her baby and on her and on her husband. She had all of those strange goings on the night that Jesus came into the world. Besides the trauma of her own birth and what she went through, she had the shepherds coming in and the angels and the questions that all of that brought on. Then 3 months later, she has these three foreigners show up at her door and start talking about a star in the sky that they've been following. And then there's the whole business of Joseph and her and the baby having to flee for their lives because Herod has put a bounty on them. And they have to make this emergency escape in the middle of the night to Egypt for safety's sake. All of these things. And that's not even to mention her encounter with Simeon and Anna. I mean, we're just getting started when we start to talk about what Mary went through. And after the birth, I can see Mary trying to calm Joseph down after the shepherds leave with their story. It's amazing when you start to think about this young lady and what she went through. I want to focus today just on one single verse, and it's an interesting verse, and we have to say to ourselves when we read this verse, how did Luke, who wrote this, know this? Listen to verse 19 again. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word treasured up means that she gathered up the chaos that was going on around her and embraced it. And wasn't overwhelmed by it. She gathered it all up. She treasured it all up as something that must be part of God's plan, even though I can't even begin to understand what's happening. All these things are going on around her, and all this stuff apparently is coming as a part of God's plan, but it all seems to be going so wrong. And it doesn't make any sense to her whatsoever. She did not understand. And she gathers it and ponders it, it says. The word ponder means to throw it all together in your heart and embrace it and hold on to it. And she kept it inside of her in a very personal and private place where no one could take it away. Do you ever do this? Do you ever stop and reflect on things that are going on in your life that don't seem to make any sense? It seemed to be random and hurtful, and you wonder whether God is paying attention. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever stop then to reflect on things that don't make sense and put them together inside of you and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm gonna just trust you. I'm going to trust you to get me through today and through next week and through the days ahead, even though I don't understand what's going on at all. That's what Mary went through. That's what this verse talks about. We first meet Mary, of course, in Luke chapter 1, and the Old Testament talks about her. A virgin will conceive and bear a child, and this child will become Emmanuel, our Savior. And now we meet her. She's just an ordinary teenager. She's somewhere between 15, 20 years old, probably in her late teens. And she comes from a family of modest means. There's nothing special about their family. They live up in the north part, up in the Samaritan region, in Nazareth, in Galilee. But she's a good girl. She comes from a family, a lower-income family, but she is quiet. She's obedient. She helps her parents. She's just barely gotten to the point in her life where she started to notice boys. And now she's betrothed to be married. And then suddenly, we read in Luke chapter 1, her world gets turned completely upside down by this angel that comes to her and says, Mary, you've been chosen by God for a special role, and you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to bring into the world God's Son, our Savior. Whoa! How would you feel about that as a teenager, not married yet? This girl had to try to process all of that impossible message. And she knew enough about physiology where she said to the angel, but how's this going to be? I'm not married. I've never been with a man. And then it's explained to her that God is going to miraculously intervene here. And the child within her is going to be a holy child, the Son of God Himself. And then we get the rest of this story unfolding, the visit to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's not supposed to be able to have kids because she's too old, but she's going to be pregnant too with the forerunner of the Savior. And when Mary goes to visit her, the baby in her leaps, you know, that wonderful story. And all the while this is going on, Mary's getting bigger. And all the while this is going on, she's starting to experience those first-time fears. Mom, you know what this feels like. The first child you had, somewhere along the line in that pregnancy, you started to get nervous. You started to wonder how this was all gonna come out in the end. And then along comes this census thing, and Caesar declares that everybody has to go to their hometown and take part in this census. And that is just the most arduous journey for Mary and Joseph. They have to make great sacrifices to go on this journey. By the way, the movie The Nativity came out a few years ago, and I've watched that movie a couple times. The part that really stands out in that movie that just struck me was the hardship of this journey. They had to travel on this road that was not secure at all. They had to go through days of hard travel. They went with other people for protection because there were bandits along the way. Food was in question every single day. Were there going to be something to eat at night? They had to sleep on the ground. And all day long, Mary's got to ride on a donkey, thump, thump, thump. And she's pregnant, near the end of her pregnancy. She's exhausted by the end of this journey. And then they ride into town and there's no room for them in the inn. You got to be kidding. More than disappointed. Now they're scared. Because maybe the birth pains have started now. What now, Lord? Why? Why no room? And then they wind up in this stable out back and hurried preparations are made for this birth. The labor's begun now, and they're entering this process for the very first time. Mary's never been through this before. And she's got to give birth in this unsanitary place, her first birth. Ladies out there that have gone through this experience, were you alone when you had your first child? Were you by yourself? Was there a doctor there, maybe a midwife? Some people can even remember when births took place in the home. But you weren't alone. Mary was. No doctor, no midwife, no other ladies around, no kindly aunt, no mother to help out. Only this dimly lit, musty-smelling place where animals were kept, mice darting around, dust in the air, cobwebs all over the place, animal dung on the floor, no chairs, no blankets, a few dirty rags hanging that they had to use. And Mary, she's got to go through her first birth under those circumstances, alone. And then, after the birth takes place, the shepherds show up, and they got quite a story. They started out having this normal night in the field, and then all of a sudden, it was like lightning flash, but the light never went out. And suddenly the whole sky's lit up and this angel starts to speak to them and they're terrified, it says. Terrified. And this angelic voice reaches out to them. Don't be afraid. This is part of God's plan. I bring you big news, good news. Into the world is coming the Savior. And you shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Big news, good news. And the heavenly choir joins in, and they're praising God, and they believe that this message came from the Father, and so they go and seek out Mary and Joseph and hurriedly tell their tale to him, all the while saying, what's going on here? Why were we chosen? And as the story spills out, Mary just shakes her head and takes it all in. And you know what she's thinking? Something special is happening here. I don't understand it, Lord, but I know I'm right in the middle of it. We look at the nativity scene down there. You ever notice in those nativity scenes, Mary always looks so serene, so peaceful, so put together. In reality, Mary is exhausted. She's in tears, partly from fear, partly from joy, partly from relief. She's drained. She's confused. She's overwhelmed. She has all these questions bouncing around inside of her. Why? How? When? What's my part? And she hasn't even met Anna and Simeon and the wise men, and she hasn't even faced Herod's threat yet, and that escape to Egypt. Wow. This is just incredible what she went through. And when I started by saying, I think she's one of the bravest people in the entire Bible, I mean that with all my heart. She's not divine. She's not God. But she is one brave young lady. Let me ask you a personal question. How would you have done in Mary's place? How do you handle God's plan when it gets complicated, when it starts to go sideways? You ever feel overwhelmed? You ever feel afraid? You ever feel confused? You ever feel like this is just too much? I can't handle this. God, how could you? I can't understand this. Why? But Mary teaches me to just trust you. Even though I don't understand, to just trust you. To ponder all this. To collect all of this stuff that's happening in my life. And to treasure it. And to know that one day I'll understand it all. And I'll know that it's part of your plan for me. Every year, I read a little section from one of my favorite authors, and I think he has a way of capturing what I've just tried to describe in a beautiful way. Listen to these words, and if I, whenever I read this, my eyes tend to get a little teeny bit watery and my throat gets a little catch in it, so I'll apologize in advance if I don't make it through real well. But listen, the night is still when Joseph creaks open the stable door, and as he does, a chorus of barn animals makes discordant noise of the intrusion. The stench is pungent and humid, as there have not been enough hours in the day to tend to the guests, let alone the livestock. A small oil lamp lent them by the innkeeper flickers to dance shadows on the wall. A disquieting place for a woman in the throes of childbirth. Far from home, far from family, far from what she had expected from her firstborn. But Mary makes no complaint. It is a relief just to finally get off her feet. She leans back against the wall. Her feet are swollen. Her back is aching. Contractions are growing harder and closer together. And Joseph's eyes dart around the stable. Not a minute to lose. Quickly, a feeding trough would have to make do for a crib. Hay would have to serve as a mattress. Blankets. Oh, maybe this robe, that would do. And those rags hung out to dry would help. A gripping contraction doubles Mary over and sends him racing for a bucket of water. The birth would not be easy, either for the mother or the child, for every royal privilege for this Son of God ended at conception. A scream from Mary knifes through the calm of the silent night, and Joseph returns breathless, water sloshing from the wooden bucket. The top of the baby's head has already pushed its way into the world. Sweat pours from Mary's contorted face as Joseph, the most unlikely midwife in all of Judea, rushes to her side. The involuntary contractions are not enough. And Mary has to push with all of her strength, almost as if God were refusing to come into this world without her help. Joseph places a garment beneath her, and with a final push and a long sigh, her labor is over. The Messiah has arrived. Elongated head from the constricting journey through the birth canal, light skin as the pigment would take days or even weeks to surface, mucus in his ears and nostrils, wet and slippery from the amniotic fluid, the Son of the Most High God, umbilically tied to a lowly Jewish girl. The baby chokes and coughs, and Joseph instinctively turns him over and clears his throat. And then he cries. Mary bares her breast and reaches for the shivering baby. She lays him on her chest, and his helpless cries subside. His tiny head bobs around on the unfamiliar terrain. This will be the first thing the infant king learns. Mary can feel his racing heartbeat as he gropes to nurse. Deity, nursing from a young maiden's breast. Could anything be more puzzling or more profound? Joseph sits exhausted. He's silent. He's full of wonder. The baby finishes in size, the divine word reduced to a few unintelligible symbols and sounds. Then, for the first time, his eyes fix on his mother's. Deity, straining to focus, the light of the world, squinting. Tears pool in her eyes. She touches his tiny hand, and the hands that once sculpted mountain ranges cling to her finger. She looks up at Joseph, and through a watery veil their souls touch. He crowds closer, cheek to cheek with his betrothed, and together they stare in awe at the baby Jesus, whose heavy eyelids begin to close. It's been a long journey. The king is tired. And so, with barely a ripple of notice, God stepped into the warm lake of humanity. Without protocol and without pretension, where you would have expected angels, there were only flies. Where you would have expected heads of state, there were only donkeys and a few haltered cows and a nervous ball of sheep and a tethered camel and a furtive scurry of curious barn mice. Except for Joseph, there was no one to share Mary's pain or her joy, and yet there were angels announcing the Savior's arrival, but only to a band of blue-collar shepherds. And yes, a magnificent star shone in the sky to mark his birthplace, but only three foreigners bothered to look up and follow it. And thus, in a little town of Bethlehem, that one silent night, the royal birth of God's Son tiptoed quietly by as the world slept. That's what Mary pondered in her heart. Mary, you're my hero. Welcome, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming to our world. Thank you for coming into my life. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this special morning and what it means to us. And we especially want to thank you for your faithful servant Mary, who endured so much and set such a wonderful example for all of us. Thank you, Father, for the fact that because she lives and we will live, we will meet her one day and talk about that night and experience it with her all over again. Thank you, Father, for Christmas. And we pray it in the name of the one who came to be one of us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number 270, Joy to the World. Let's sing the first and last stanzas of 270. The Christmas offering today has been designated by our deacons for the Voice of the Martyrs and a very worthy outreach ministry, getting the gospel out there and remembering those who have given the ultimate sacrifice along the way. And I believe there are some magazines out somewhere in the hallway, Voice of the Martyrs magazines, that you may feel free to take and read and lend. But that's what the Christmas offering is being designated for this year, and I'll invite our deacons to come and receive that offering right now. Father, thank you so much for Christmas, and thank you for what we experience as believers. May the Christmas message, Father, get out to people who have never understood it before, somehow, maybe through us, that maybe people may come to believe in Jesus Christ, to welcome him as we welcome him this morning, and to celebrate the fact that we have a Savior because you love us. We pray that now in Jesus' name, amen. As we close the service, I'll just mention that we don't have coffee and goodies downstairs today, so don't go down there. You'll just find a nice, neat lower area, fellowship area. But because many of you have busy schedules and busy days planned, we're not going to be having the traditional coffee after the worship service. After the benediction, we're going to sing just the first verse, or verse 3 actually, of Worthy, You Are Worthy. Receive God's blessing. Now go forth in the peace of Christmas, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from God and knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May that peace be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.